Hello, America. It's your new favourite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two fourths of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
ESPN 97.5 KFMC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Which can cause cramping and diarrhea.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday, and Nick is here, and I'm here, and that chair is empty right there.
Tardiness at this company has been ridiculous.
Inexcusable.
It's getting ridiculous.
How if you work alongside the morning show, The Bench, you suddenly can pull Lance Zierlein's and just show up whenever you want when you've already tweeted out that you're filling in with us on The Usual Suspects. What are we, chopped liver?
Now, Hill's supposed to be filling in, but wasn't he already at the station today?
Been here, done that, left because he had to get free lunch at Saltgrass because you know those are his peeps.
That's what it
did
is.
Did not bring you back anything.
Of course he didn't.
Yeah. And then said he'd be here by 12:45. And lo and behold, here we are at 1 o'clock and waiting with bated breath and anticipation. Where the hell is he? Oh, wait. You hear those footsteps, people? Raheel has blessed us with his presence. He is now present and accounted for.
What's up, Joel?
Hi, Raheel.
You guys start at 1?
Yeah. Unlike you guys, we don't start at 1:05 or 1:15. We start at 1.
I'm so used to Lance and John going over and the show starting. I'm on from 9 to 11. It doesn't start until about 9:45. That's how bad they are with breaks. So I apologize. I am merely a child of my environment.
Or, a product of the system, and the system ain't working.
No, it's not.
Wow, and it's a long day for you today.
No, I'm glad, man. When I got the text last night, I was like, absolutely,
was the offering just one day or was it 2 days?
Straight up 2 days.
Straight up 2 days.
So you didn't say 1 or 2 days because you knew what was going to happen if you did word it that way.
Yeah, if you're going to give me an inch, I'm going to take a mile.
Let's be clear. I'm not giving you an inch or more. Nick, on the other hand, is available.
See.
Hey, Nick, man, it's all good.
I was happy that, I threw your name in the mix as a potential guy to replace or fill in for Barry.
What was that slip there? Did you hear that?
It wasn't a slip. That was intentional.
That was a slip.
That was intentional.
Oh, it was intentional. Okay. Well, thank you for having me, guys. I apologize for being late.
Okay. I already gave you, you were with your people.
Mm-hmm.
You were getting some salt grass.
Yeah.
What was the food today?
Man, today, and Nick, I'm sorry, I didn't get the text until later. I apologize. You should have let me know earlier, and I would have brought some food back for you guys.
I appreciate it.
But it started off with that spinach and kale salad, bacon-wrapped quail. That was delicious.
I'm going to pass on both of those.
Really? Yeah. I mean, spinach and kale salad is delicious there. It's my favorite salad by far. Seafood fondue?
No.
No?
No.
Okay, how about a ribeye with shrimp?
Okay,
and,
now you're talking.
And sweet potato fries?
Sweet potato fries. I'm not big on the sweet potato fries, but I'll go that route.
Okay. Yeah. And then we had the rest of the table had the smoked pork chop with bacon jam. That was supposedly that was pretty good for them.
Okay.
And then the brownie skillet crumble cookie dessert. Oh my God.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
I could eat that whole thing.
Sounds good. Where do you rank the bacon wrapped quail?
I'm not going that route.
In terms of everything that you just listed, though. I mean, like within...
It's really good.
Well, I mean, you involve bacon. So there in itself, you're going to get people interested. But the quail part, just, I'm not feeling
it. Got it. It's cooked right. The way they brine it, they told me it's so much... It's tender. It didn't have an earthy taste. Quail usually has that earthy, gamey taste. It didn't have that.
Not into all that.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good. But yeah, so I was there, and shout out to my peeps at Meyerland Saltgrass. Thank you so much, Dustin, Chef Roger, Michelle, all of them. They're the best. So that's why I was late, so I apologize.
Well, we're glad you're here.
Cool.
Finally. And OU Mike says, hey, you know you still work here, Jamel Raheel.
That's, I wish I was making Jamel money.
She gone.
Yeah, $6 million buyout,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, gone. She gone. No longer at ESPN, Nick. Crazy.
Hey, any of the higher-ups listening, if you are willing to pay me $6 million to leave ESPN 97.5.
By all means.
I'm done. I will.
I felt like that was bound to happen. I felt like she was on her way out. I mean, it was eventually going to.
Yeah, it's, I think they've got new management there. They're trying to do all kinds of different stuff. But, you know, I think that obviously she is very outspoken, and she had a couple of tweets against the president and everything that they didn't. They're of course, publicly going to say that had nothing to do with it. But they tried the six, and the six didn't work out with her and Michael, and thus ESPN is moving forward. She's not going to have any problem finding a job.
Yeah.
Because she's a hell of a writer. People realize she was a writer first and foremost that got the opportunity to work at ESPN.
So. The thing with the six, I watched it a lot because I listened to Michael and Jamel on their podcast. I'm fans of theirs. I know some listeners that heard the interview at Super Bowl Radio Row when they were making their rounds announcing it. I was a fanboy. I was openly a fanboy, and I enjoy their work. And the six did start off, you know, like they would do opinion-related pieces and opinion-related moments talking about politics. But the way people tweeted about it and made it sound like it was 59 minutes of politics, it wasn't.
No.
It wasn't. It was, they had highlights. They had different moments.
People being able to express themselves, give their opinions.
Yeah.
So...
I you know, but that's fine. Everyone's going to side with what they want, whatever. I thought it was a good show, but it was more for me. It was a show about me where they're talking about the shoes. They're talking about the music. They're talking about different things other than just straight up sports. So, you know, it didn't work out, but good luck to her. I enjoy her work still.
Speaking of shoes, our man Kelly Eco, who's going to be the next Woj, dropping Woj bombs on NBA News, right? He has frequented the office a lot lately because he's doing a podcast. He's doing a lot of things, getting ready for the NBA season. He comes in with the Huaraches. You and I are both familiar with the shoes. Nick can attest to this. When you blow out a shoe, you blow out the toe, you blow out the side. He blew out the heel of both shoes. Not the sole, the heel of the Huarache. How do you do that? Then he had the audacity to lie to us and said, well, I was on 6th Street in Austin standing by a food truck and someone shot a gun in the air. And when I went to run, a guy stepped on the back of my foot, blowing out the shoe. Well, first of all, both shoes are blown out, not just one. Second of all, you got to have Sasquatch-sized feet to do the damage of two heels with one foot behind a guy. It's just... Just tell me that. Give me the real reason.
I just want to see what it looks like. Kelly, just stand here. Let me see your shoes. Come more over here. I want to. I can't see the damage yet. How old are those? 2 years and it. Man.
Show him the other shoe. Show him the other shoe. Because he claims that's the one. Now he claims.
Put up in front of the camera. We need the audience need to see that.
Yeah, get over here.
His foot is leaking out.
The audience need to see that. Come on, Kelly. Come on, Kelly.
Kelly looks like a
in front of the camera. So, yeah.
If
come
you
here.
Got fat feet, just say you got fat feet.
Yeah, you got
feet.
Fat. What, I think you need to buy a shoe size bigger, half a size up. Yeah, you need to go 12 and a half.
What are you in denial that you need a 12 and a half? Is it embarrassing?
Yeah.
So you have 12 and a half, but you're going to blame some innocent man on 6th Street for blowing out the heel of your shoe.
His foot is leaking out like when somebody wears tight clothing and it's just leaking out.
He still hasn't put it in front of the camera. We need to see this.
Like a muffin top.
Yeah.
Like a muffin top.
Like, I don't want to body shame you, but...
What, his muffin top?
No, that's a different thing.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
But it doesn't help.
Yeah,
he's wearing
weird,
your
man.
Pants, not your size. I'm saying he's wearing the NSYNC skinny jeans. He's wearing the Laminax. It accentuates
it. Yeah, the pants look fine. I'm not going to hate on the pants. I'm just saying your shoe size, you need to go up half a size because it's leaking out, and that's kind of weird, but it's strangely turning me on. I don't know why, but.
Oh, that's so weird.
Well, there you go. That,
now we're going to break.
How in the world? You can follow him, too, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to take a picture of this and tweet it out.
Here's my thing.
You don't want followers? Oh,
at
for the
Kelly Iko dot or at Kelly Iko NBA at Kelly and then IKO NBA. Great follow, breaks news for you. Raheel's going to get a picture of the blowout. When you have a backloaded blowout on shoes, believe me, it had nothing to do with running away from anything on 6th Street. The food truck, on the other hand, may have had something to do with this. Just saying. All right, Raheel's here. I'm here. Nick's here. If you want to reach us via Twitter, it's at @_Raheel, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at the producer Nick. And, of course, if you want to reach us on that HRNP listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or, like I said, hit us on Twitter. Just getting started. Fasten your seatbelts. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
High fly ball, deep left field, off the bat of right. Is it enough? Series loss in the last 21. And they are posing for the cameras behind home plate.
Oh, it was awesome. That's my first one ever and first walk-off home run ever, even like Little League. And, yeah, I mean, what a great group of guys to be able to be a part of it with. Didn't really know what to do. I just know I had to touch home plate. But, yeah, I threw my helmet up in the air, and I think it might have landed in the stands. I don't even know. But, yeah, what a great moment.
That was Tyler White hitting the home run to walk it off. Then his reaction after the game for his first ever walk-off. And as Todd Callis said, only the second series loss in what seems like forever for the A's. A much-needed victory for your Astros. They win the series. They remain three up in the loss column over the A's. And as Lance affectionately put it, I think affectionately, the dad bod comes through in a big way in a walk-off yesterday. So the Stros escape the A's with 2 out of 3. And now welcoming the Angels for a series that starts tonight with Justin Verlander on the hill.
I love seeing that for Tyler White. In his last 27 games where he's just been red hot, 10 homers, 25 RBI, you just root for a guy like that where you're just waiting, right? Yep. Like, man, he's just on a hot streak. Going into the game yesterday, even if this doesn't happen, you can make a case like last year it was Fires who kept the Astros afloat in the summer. Tyler White has been that guy. And even though Altuve's back and Bregman's now finally hitting again, when Altuve was out, Bregman was just, meh.
He Tyler was trying, White, but yeah, he was the focus, so people knew how to pitch around it.
It's different, right?
Yeah.
Tyler White was the guy that has kept everything going still. And like, hey, it's okay. Things are fine. You know, August has never been good for this core group of guys. Tyler White kept them afloat. And yesterday was the cherry on top for this run that he's on. And hopefully it extends. And hopefully this is a part of a season where it becomes Tyler White and not just a hot streak. Like last year when Marwin, you see him dominating, you go, yeah, but eventually he's going to come back to earth, right? He never did last year.
This is Evan Gattis earlier this year.
Yeah.
This is that hot streak he went on where you're just hoping it continues. And then he cooled off. You hope that Tyler White caught lightning in a bottle at the right time and can ride this out. Because I've been saying forever and a day that between now and the start of September, when the deadline comes and goes, they really need to get one more bat in this lineup, whether it be as an insurance policy or because they want to make sure that they have a really good stick at the DH. But Tyler White may make you not need to make that move if he continues to hit like that. But it's still a big if, and it's a guy that doesn't have playoff experience. So there's some things that still provide question marks, but it's a really good sign to see a guy that seems like, for all intents and purposes, a really good dude, too, that – the story was going around yesterday that the last time he got sent down, he went to A.J. Hinch's office and said, what do I got to do to stay? And Hinch said, sometimes you just got to keep grinding. You just got to keep working, keep grinding. It's going to happen. It's happening now for him, and it's really helping out this team.
Yeah, and that's it. You know, Carlos is still – and he had the RBI yesterday. He's a sac fly, which was nice, but he still looks like, whoa, what's happening with Carlos Correa? If he can get going, and even if you go back to an average Tyler White, then as you mentioned, you don't need that other bat because since the return of Carlos Correa, I heard you guys talking about this yesterday, the whole, you know, Carlos is our pickup at the trade deadline. He is that bat.
That was AJ's
right?
quotes before he lost Springer and Altuve.
Yeah, so like if Carlos Correa just can get back to Carlos Correa and then you add that bat in and everything's good, Tyler White, even an average Tyler White, it's going to be okay. It's going to be fine.
Well, the good news is they don't see the A's the rest of the season.
Yep.
So you got that going for you, which is nice. The schedule, I think they have the fifth easiest schedule down the stretch of any team in Major League Baseball. So all the numbers are trending towards the Stros should win this division. But it was a wake-up call because it wasn't the easy ride of last year. And there was a time, let we go back 2 weeks or less, to where the A's were not only on their heels, it was a dead even heat. And at one point, the A's had won when the Stros were still playing. The A's had taken over temporary place on top of the division. So maybe this helps this team as they get ready for postseason. It's not the easy coast that they did last year when they coasted into the playoffs.
Yeah. Off the top of your head, the Astros' record against Oakland, it's been a closer season. As you just mentioned, the division race. What do you think their record is in 19 games against the Astros? Because when I saw this number, I was like, wow, really?
So the A's got they had lost all six games in Oakland to the Stros earlier, but then they came back here and did they sweep them or they won three out of four?
3 out of 4. And it was Bregman's crazy play that ended up winning that fourth one.
With that swinging bunt.
Salvage that that series just a little bit.
So how many games they play for the season series?
19.
So out of 19... I'd say the Stros won 12.
Yeah, 12.
Really?
Yeah. But hasn't it felt like a 50-50 series right now?
Because of the late push by the A's. Because no matter how dominant the Astros were early, the A's have seemingly kind of been that team that has dominated the Stros late in the season. So, yeah, it does. It does feel like it was more of a 50-50 series.
And it's felt like the A's bullpen has given a lot of fits to the Astros. For me, at least, I'm like, man, are they going to get something going? And you take a step back, and again, that the earlier series did impact this, but they have 19 homers against the A's bullpen this season.
Which is crazy because their bullpen has been lights out.
It is the strongest part of their team.
He beat Familia yesterday. Familia was 4-0 coming in. Now think about that. He was in the National League. In the time that it took for the A's to trade for him, he already won four games. He had come in and been dominant. He hadn't given up a home run or blown an opportunity for a hold or a save. And Tyler White gets him. And by the way, Tyler White, and everybody's going, well, there was only a 1% chance that ball was supposed to be a home run based on StatCast, and it only went It went as far as it needed to go to get the job done, and that's all that matters because I don't care about launch angle, and it was only like 90-some miles an hour when it left his bat. Look, it's a benefit of knowing what you got in left field. The Crawford boxes are short. It's just like playing at Fenway Park. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think it's great, and I think that momentum now says, okay, you had the grind-it-out series. Now you open up a series against the Angels where they're just hoping to get done with it. Trout will play. He's been in and out of the lineup. But overall, they already know they're playing for next year, so hopefully that benefits an Astros team that needs every single win down the stretch simply because of the fact that, again, the A's have not gone away.
Did you see Tony Kemp yesterday? What happened with him?
With the gum container?
With the gum container, and then he used every single inch of that vertical to slap it down And it's one of my favorite things to watch over and over
again. Did you see why he said he did it?
Yeah, because he saw Justin Verlander right there.
So if you missed it, they were celebrating, and before they did the whole freeze frame pick with the whole team that they've been doing, Tony Kemp had thrown all of the gum out of the gum container, Tupperware, over the guys as they were celebrating at home plate, then let the big plastic container go up in the air. And in the middle of his joyous jubilation and screaming, he looked up and was like, oh, snap, that's headed right for Justin Verlander's head. And he made, as Raheel said, almost like an offensive rebound in traffic. He went up and with one hand just swatted it to make sure it did not hit the franchise pitcher. That was good stuff.
It was funny, but, you know, in like the heat of the moment, you're like, no, you can't let it hit him. I don't think it would have done any damage to Justin Verlander.
No.
I don't think so.
But you would hate to have Verlander start scratch tonight because of neck stiffness or something like that.
Or what if he's out for the season because it just caught it? Because that thing weighs less than a pound, right? Like those little buckets, maybe, you know, half a pound. And it just catches it at the perfect angle. Could you imagine what would happen if that was the case? Like it just catches Justin Verlander, pinches a nerve or something, and he's done for the season.
How scary would that have been? Guys, and good news coming out of Minute Maid Park. 3 o'clock press conference. AJ Hinch will get a contract extension. Well deserved. And if you missed it, this is probably as much a product of obviously his wins and what he's done with this team, but also that Buster Olney about a month ago came out with tweets that said the Angels and Mike Socia would be parting company at the end of the year, and the two leading candidates to get that job would be ex-Astro Brad Ausmus and AJ Hinch. Mm-hmm. And I think the Astros were like, you know, we didn't think he was going anywhere and we would have plenty of time to get this done, and decided, nope, let's just make sure we wrap him up now.
And they're doing it right before what series?
The Angels series. You're exactly right. And there's another message sent. All right, so we got plenty of messages to send to you, but we appreciate you getting in on the messages along the way. Whether you text us at 713-780-3776 or you call the show, which we do like and encourage in terms of participation. That HR&P listener line is open. It's the same number, 713-780-ESPN. Or you can hit us up on Twitter. We've got plenty more to get to. So you're along for the ride, and we appreciate you on the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Second half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We appreciate Raheel stepping in for Barry, who is in Kansas, Nick, not Oklahoma.
Correct, Wichita.
He's in Wichita. So he's out today, tomorrow. Raheel in today and tomorrow. Tomorrow we're at Carbach Brewery, by the way, for the football kickoff celebration. So Charlie will be there. I think everybody. You guys there in the morning too?
No, we're not. Unfortunately, it starts with Charlie and
Charlie, us, and the Blitz. Yeah. Right? Okay.
I like that. That place is really neat.
It's really good. It's nice, roomy. Yeah. Everything's new. Yeah, it's got a great feel to it, and of course, great food and drink there as well. Carbach, stop by and see us off of 290, just right off of 610 and 290.
Yeah.
Really cool. So we'll be there tomorrow, and then we will actually be doing you guys a favor on Monday. We will be working, Nick and I, and then Barry will be doing it from a broom closet in whereabouts in rural
Wichita.
America.
So if you happen to be in Wichita, not only will he do his gigs over the weekend, but he'll actually have one on Monday night. So.
Wow.
I don't know if anybody's going to win.
And if you need a good broom or Swiffer, I think that the closet that he will be doing the show in on Monday will also have things that you might be able to get away with.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Man, did you guys want to work Labor Day?
We talked about it. We know for him that it helps because he's traveling so much that he can stockpile some days if he works.
Sure.
And for me, it really doesn't make a difference in my schedule all that much. So Nick and I kind of contemplated, should we take the time off or not?
I was going to, and then I said no. But we've done this multiple times.
I mean, you just got to work real quick, and then you're good. Those shows are not that big a deal. Yeah, no. And you got so much football to talk about.
That and the fact that it's really kind of nice because people that like catch us in and out of work, when they're not working, if they're in the car at all, then they're able to get, you know, to listen to more of the show. They participate more. So a lot of people poo-poo on the fact that you don't want to do a show on a holiday. Sometimes it's better.
Yeah. I don't want to do it because I'm just lazy, to be frankly honest. I just don't want to do it. And I just, man, like the whole weekend, I just want to relax, you know? You got so much football
Saturday.
See, Lisa's
got to work anyway.
That's what I was going to ask you. Is,
yeah,
is Lisa
she's
got to
do the morning show. Oh, so then, for me, it really doesn't make any sense. The only difference is Taylor's off of school, so that just means I have Taylor in the morning, and then I hand Taylor off to Lisa, and sure. I go to work, and then Taylor's got someone to be with her, so yeah, it doesn't.
Yeah, it's fine. I would definitely be working. If my wife wasn't working, then I'd be like, yeah, I'll come in, because then I wouldn't have to take care of anything. I would just come do the show, and I'd probably go to the gallery or something after, and be like, no, the offices were open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you should be lying. You don't want to lie.
I can't wait. Are you going to be on the couch Saturday all day watching college football?
I'm going to hoop in the morning.
Yeah, after you hoop.
Hoop starting in the morning, and then mother-in-law leaves to go back home, so drive to the airport. So, no, I'll be checking scores. But
what time does Wisconsin play?
They play Western Kentucky, I believe, tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Oh, they got a Friday night game.
Yeah, I think it's the Friday night
game. Okay, cool.
So that's on the schedule. But someone did text in. Raheel, you got any betting advice on Tech Ole Miss?
Tech Ole Miss, 11 a.m. kick tomorrow, or excuse me, Saturday at Reliance Stadium, which, man, they really screwed this one up, by the way, because you have the Cougars and Rice playing at 11. You've got Texas Tech playing at 11. You got the Horns playing at 11. So any kind of like residual audience that you might get going to the kickoff game, they're not going to go. Like Cougars fans, you know, if somebody just wanted to go watch football and they're a Cougars fan or a Longhorn fan, they're not going to go. So the audience, it's going to be a low, it's just going to be empty at NRG, unfortunately. And 11 a.m. kick for them. We talked to Cliff Kingsbury earlier in the week on our show, and he is excited for this team. This defense is going to be a lot better than.
But are they going to be a lot better? I think the over-under on win total is something like 5.5.
5.5. Yeah. And the line right now is Texas Tech by 2.
Ole Miss. It'll be a good game.
It should be a good game. And with Ole Miss, I don't know much about Matt Luke, their new head coach, to be honest with you. I don't know what kind of system and all that good stuff.
And obviously the six guys transferred immediately upon all the stuff that they've been going through. So, yeah, I don't know what their talent level is going to be. But at least if the game's at a neutral site and it's here in Houston, obviously if you want to go to that game or you want to watch that game, you just want a close game. So hopefully that's the case.
And the total on that game is 67.5.
Wow.
To be honest with you, don't touch this game. If you like have to bet it, then wait and play the second half line, whatever the second half line is, and just kind of see, you know, feel it out.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at the first half lines right now. There's nothing that stands out. Texas Tech is favored by 1. The total is 34.5. So you're thinking, will there be 7 touchdowns out there?
Right.
Right? Like, not 7. 6 touchdowns and a field goal there, roughly. So no, not even that. It's 34.5. What am I thinking? Sorry. I'm way out of it. I don't think it'll be that many points in the first half either. Both teams are going to be trying to figure
this out. Feeling
it
out.
Yeah. So just stay away from this game. If you want to bet it, wait till the second half and see what the line is. And I highly recommend MyBookie as your betting service. If I use that.
Okay.
Because I know that's going to be the next question for people.
Barry does as well.
Yeah. MyBookie is a great place.
Fred does as well.
Yep. Yep. Good place. Safe place. I did it all last season.
My bookie.
My bookie. So just Google it and you'll be good.
All right. So that's a good tip.
No
there.
Play.
So we
I'm
got
sorry.
That off the tech. Yeah. Yeah, no play is
no
your
play.
Your long answer, by the way.
Yeah, sorry.
On that. So
I
we got
set
that
up
out
the
of
game,
the
you know, the excitement.
Okay.
But if you want to play something, Texas first half against Maryland.
Where are you on this whole Tom Herman? Because you're a Longhorn and I haven't had a chance to really catch up with you. Where are you on this whole Herman's involvement and what happened? Like, was he the snitch? Then it's a big deal now that he was with Zach Smith at the strip club the one time. I mean, it seems like it's all just a big pissing match about everything.
It seems like a lot of distractions. Seems like a lot of sleight of hand magic tricks from Ohio State's side. Seems like a lot of, you're telling me Zach Smith was a bleep head and he was doing all sorts of horrible things according to Courtney Smith. And there was another story posted this morning about what happened and the details that
she started to respond to some of his tweets yesterday.
And it's like, are you guys just trying to distract from the fact that you had this bleep head on your roster for that long and you don't want us to talk about that? So there's leaks of Tom Herman being the snitch. Is that a bad thing that he's snitching on a guy that was beating his wife? That's now a bad thing. And I know the whole thing, the rumor
they lost a five-star recruit receiver.
Guys, Herman has lost plenty of five-star recruits. There's going to be a lot of guys he's going to miss out on. That doesn't mean you go snitch on everything. So even if that's the case, you're telling me he is now a bad guy for doing something like he... The problem is, why'd you wait that long? And that is, like, if it was him or whoever it was, why did you wait that long to say something? And that's a discussion that we can have. The strip club stuff is...
It's just, to me, it's people still trying to sell the story so that they can get hits and ratings and everything like that, and him going back at Brett McMurphy and all that other stuff. It's just, let's see how it all plays out. Someone's going to pay them, I'm sure, for one-on-one interviews where they're going to get a lot of money out of the deal. But overall, I've said what I've said, and I don't need to say any more. The bottom line is, if you're Urban Meyer, you know what he did in 2009. Mm-hmm. You still brought him to Ohio State anyway. You didn't tell anybody about his past when you hired him. And then the guy has the past that he has, whether you are worried about what he had shipped to the offices and what he did at the White House, or just the fact that he flat out has an issue that has been lingering for a long time with domestic abuse allegations with his wife.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, even Zach Smith said it was all handled poorly.
It was a bunch of sleight of hand distractions in those stories, the sex toy stuff. Again, as you mentioned, like that has nothing to do with it. Even the relationship after he got the divorce from his wife, there was he was in a relationship with a staffer that was not on the football side of things. Is it a good move? No, but I don't think it's illegal. I don't think that's wrong having a relationship with somebody inside the athletics program.
Everybody always says the unwritten rule is don't poop where you eat.
Yeah.
You know, but the bottom line is life happens. You're working with these people all the time. You get to know the people you work with. It's bound to happen from time to time. And the issue at hand, again, it's just like going back to Herman's wife. Look, the wives are going to be friends. And when you're friends, if you have something that happens and you need money, or something happens where you need some help for a while, I'm not going to ask questions, but I'm going to help you because you're my friend. So a lot of the stuff that's being publicized and going through all the stuff that's happened back and forth, let's just quit all of the mudslinging in the media and let it all play out and just see exactly what is the truth if it ever does come out. And if it doesn't, then, hey, the decision's been made. It's not going to change Urban Meyer's fate, obviously, after this. So you just go from there. So I guess that's what's left to say. Someone said, hey, Raheel, does Cliff Kingsbury get fired if they have a bad year?
Yes.
I think so, too.
Oh, yeah. I think everybody knows that.
I think a lot. I heard the Blitz saying that they thought he'd survive. I don't. Mm-hmm. I just think that as much as he's a popular guy and his offense is exciting, I don't think he survives a bad year. So there you have it. All right, we're going to continue to roll on. It's Nick, it's Raheel, it's Joel, it's the usual suspects. We got plenty more to get to on the show. Don't forget, 2:30, Sigmund Bloom joins us. Sigmund Bloom, the foremost expert on fantasy football. And you know how we normally like to do it. You either text us or you tweet us your questions in advance, and I'll mark them down. And if you want to talk to him directly, you call right before we hit the 2:30 break. And when we come back, we'll get your questions for Sigmund Bloom. So we have that and a whole lot more coming back. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects. Inspired, but you look so beautiful, my new supplier. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. First hour of the show. It is The Usual Suspects. Raheel in for Barry, who's in Kansas doing comedy through Monday. Nick and I are present and accounted for on a Thursday. Tomorrow's an FYF Friday. I don't know. Did Barry leave you with a comedian, Nick? I'm not sure. I didn't hear.
He did not. So I guess I'll have to shoot out a text and ask him.
Make him do some work.
Yeah.
We will have a comedian, too. But Raheel and I will be at Carbach off of 290 and 610 tomorrow. And so will Charlie. So will the Blitz. So we'll be there to celebrate the kickoff weekend of football. That should be fun.
Nice. That's fun. That's a nice place.
Should be a good time.
If I drank, I'm sure I would probably drink a Carbach. But I don't drink.
Boy, some of the different beers on the menu do sound good. And coming from Wisconsin and Milwaukee, and I know And I just, like, I'm like you. I just haven't drank in, like, years.
Yeah.
But it does sound like they got some refreshing beers out there. But look, the food is fantastic. It's a really clean, really nice place to hang out. Great, lots of TVs to watch sports, but hang out with all of us. Should be fun on a Friday. We should have some fun there for sure. So that'll be a good time. Yeah. I don't know. By the way, we're going to be giving away some Journey and Def Leppard tickets as well throughout the show. We've got two pairs to give away. So if you're interested in those, make sure you continue to listen because we'll be giving away tickets. We're not going to tell you when, but if you are loyal listeners to the show, it doesn't matter. And you'll have a chance to score some tickets to Journey and Def Leppard at the Toyota Center.
Those are good tickets. You got to make them work a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt.
They got to sing a little bit. Maybe you get three callers on and they have to sing. Don't Stop Believing, and the best rendition will win some tickets. I mean, you can't just hand these out. These are Journey.
You good with that, Nick? You like that?
Def Leppard.
Yeah, definitely. Why not?
Right? You get first three in, and you have to sing Don't Stop Believing for, well, let's say 10, 15 seconds.
Do you want to give him the option to sing either a Def Leppard song or a Journey song?
Sure.
Let's do that, because Journey might be a little too far back for you. All right, so at 2:15... Okay, 2:15. You can start calling at around 2 o'clock, but we need three participants who are going to sing for us either "Don't Stop Believing" by Journey or the Def Leppard song of your choice.
Yeah, Def Leppard's "My Heart Is Hurting."
No, pick a good song for God's sake. Bring it on the heartache.
Rolling
pour
through,
some sugar on me.
Rolling through your neighborhood.
Okay, you're.
I'm just making up. So I don't know.
You're hacking it up.
Outside of the "Pour Some Sugar" song.
Yeah, you don't know Def Leppard?
I don't know any of their songs.
Boy, I was a big fan. I've seen them in concert a ton. They're good.
Okay.
All right. So either your favorite Def Leppard song or Journey, and we're going to take three contestants. Then we'll have a vote, and whoever we feel like did the best job singing that song will get two tickets to the show. The show, by the way, is September the 3rd, so it's coming up. So we'll give away the tickets. You can still pick them up here at the office. And if you do want more information on the concert, if you aren't lucky enough to win the tickets, go to HoustonToyotaCenter.com for your chance to purchase tickets for that show. That should be fun. Nick, do you know either group?
Def Leppard, I kind of know them.
Okay.
But, you know, Photograph, Hysteria, I think is another song.
Yep, you're right.
Everybody knows Journey. Don't Stop Believing, right? Like
they know the cult classics.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just saying that's like the entry level. And I was telling John this yesterday. For me, I'm sure I would recognize a lot of their songs, but that's one I can name. That's it. Because I didn't grow up on that. I didn't grow up on that music.
Okay. So.
But I can't wait to hear people sing now.
No, I can't believe we're doing
this. I'm pumped for this. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it as well.
There you go. David West. Be good. David West retired.
David West retired. I'm good with it. I'll always say that he walked away from money that he will never, ever be able to get back because he had 1 year. He had an option left on his deal with Indiana for about $11 million. And he declined that to sign a minimum deal. First with the Spurs, then with the Warriors, ended up working out for him. He got himself a couple of rings. He got what he wanted. Everybody said, look, he took care of his funds throughout his career. He played smart with his money, and he didn't need it. Everyone can always use that money. But other than that, I don't have a single problem with it. I got a real problem with people on Twitter that were taking shots at him and calling him names and saying all these different things. And the crux of it was that they thought he was stupid for walking away from the money. But look, everybody's entitled to their own decisions. And the decisions he made got the outcome that he wanted. He got a title. He got two.
And $91 million. Career earnings of $91 million. That's not counting endorsements and all that. It's the strangest thing as sports fans we do this where we go, you know, these guys just play for the money. And when a guy goes, all right, I don't want to play for the money. I just want to play to win now. You go, what? You're walking away from this much money? Hold on. What are you doing? You had a chance to make $10 more million, and you were walking away from that. But if he had stayed, and he would have been on another losing team that didn't win at all, you go, oh, David West was just there for the money. What? It's like we will always find the negative on what a guy does.
Isn't that true?
It's for, like, absolutely. Absolutely true.
And here's the other thing that I really am bothered by with all of that is, and at least some people had the courage to step up in his defense, because obviously he's not going to respond to these a-holes, but people came up and said, I bet you wouldn't say anything that you tweeted to his face.
Oh,
And David West is known to go. He was a fighter in his day. He could hold his own, and he had a fuse too. But that's the thing that I hate more than anything else is the cowardly keyboard confidence that comes through and calls him all kinds of names. Yeah. You saw him walking down a sidewalk. You'd never say that to him.
No chance.
None. So just, you know what? Tip your cap to the guy. Good career. Got championships. Had good seasons. I think he was an all-star a few times. Hey, wait. Well done, sir.
Absolutely,
well done.
Absolutely, man. Go get it. That's good for you, and go get that ring, man. It's not embarrassing to go ring chasing, in my opinion. Go do it, man.
Later in your career, too. I mean, it's one thing if you're Kevin Durant and you're joining a team that's already stacked. It's another thing if you're late in your career. Mm-hmm. Tracy McGrady tried to do it with the Spurs. You can go on and on with name after name of guys that were hoping to get picked up by the right team at the right time because the one thing missing, that big void that was left on their resume, mm-hmm. was a title. There's nothing wrong with that. I see nothing wrong with that. I understand that people have issues with the whole super teams and joining the super teams. I get that. That's totally separate from what we're talking about here.
Yeah. So congratulations to David West, and that's another one from the 2000s that finished it up today, or this week. Manu Ginobili was the other one.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got a list of, what, athletes from the
90s that are still
playing.
Yeah.
There are some?
Yeah, there are some.
Wow.
You want to get to it in a little bit? Because I want to spend some time on that one. Okay. Ginobili, real quickly, before, because I know we got to hit the break.
No, we got five minutes.
Oh, yeah. We're good. Okay. Favorite Ginobili memory? And I know in the city of Houston,
everybody's going to say the bat.
No.
Swatting the bat out of the air.
Basketball memory.
I mean, in Houston, I know the favorite, it's not a favorite, but blocking James Harden's shot in game six, or was it game six? It was game five.
Game five in San Antonio,
Harden's shot on a potential winner. That's got to stick out with most people as the most memorable simply because it is recent memory and it was a huge point in a big game.
Do you remember, I think it was 2008 or 2009, the Spurs were in Toyota Center. They were getting blown out. It was 4 minutes left in the game. So Duncan shoots, misses. There's just a fight for the ball. Ginobili gets it in just a play that was, everything was just helter skelter. He gets the ball, goes right down the middle, and throws down a two-handed jam on Yao. And I was there. I was watching that from press row. I couldn't believe. I was like, wait, hold on. Did he just? I mean, he posterized him, and it wasn't a running start. It was just a couple of steps, and he just powered it down on Yao. And I know everyone got their chance on Yao. I know that.
Sure they did.
But the fact that he took off, it was like he probably had 7 feet clearance. Took off, threw it down, and I looked around, and there was a lot of fake media that didn't understand like the basketball side of things, like how that happened.
Oh, they're still there.
And I'm like, did you guys just see that? And I had to like go back and watch that. I couldn't believe he still did it. That was one of my favorite Ginobili moments. I was like, what the hell?
People forget because they've seen him late in his career that he was more of a three-point shooter and an occasional slasher, but he wasn't. But people forget, back when he didn't have the baboon's ass on the back of his head, he had a lot of hair and a lot of game and was fearless in the way that he got up in the air and took on people at the rim. There's no doubt about it. The bigger question for me is he a Hall of Famer? Because when you look at his career, I think I don't know if he was ever an all-star, maybe twice was an all-star.
Twice.
Averaged about 13 some points a game. I know titles mean something, but I think that overall, and I know Charles Barkley said, I'll see you at the Hall of Fame, is a slam dunk. The biggest thing he's got going for him that people forget is the Hall of Fame is about your overall basketball career. What he did with that Argentinian team, how legendary that Argentinian team was, that had Scola, that had himself, that had so many of those guys that either had short NBA stints, mm-hmm. but big time international careers. That's going to register, too, and I think he will be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Semifinal game against Team USA in 2004, the Olympics. He drops 29 points. Everybody tried to slow him down, could not slow him down. And I know that team was a group that was just thrown out there.
Right.
With Garnett, Duncan, Marbury, Iverson, LeBron,
kind of a
Carmelo.
Makeshift throw together.
And then you throw Larry Brown on top of that, and you're just like, what the hell
think
is this?
Think about that Argentinian teams, though, too, because they had Carlos Delfino mm-hmm. on that team. Along with Scola, along with Ginobili. They had so many talented players on that team. And this is where I think people get spoiled with the level of basketball that they get all the time in the NBA. But when you look at it, a lot of these guys that are foreign players, when they came over initially, before it became such an in thing to do, like Luka Doncic now being a top mm-hmm. five pick, you ended up coming to the NBA later in your career. And then everybody was like, man, he's really not that good. But you never saw Arivas Sabonis when he was all world, the best player on the planet, but he was only playing in Russia where he was playing. You know, you never got to see him in his prime. There's so many examples of players that didn't come over. Scola is mm-hmm. another one where people saw him and he was pretty good. He was great back in the day, but he just didn't come over to the NBA right away. So I think that's where people lose sight of a little bit of rating a player and do they fit in the Hall of Fame.
Here's the roster. Ginobili was their lead scorer. Scola was number two. Andres Nocioni.
Yep.
Remember Nocioni, him?
Yep.
Fabricio Oberto.
Yep. Fabricio Oberto played for... Did he play for the Spurs?
Played for the Spurs.
Yep.
Played for the Spurs. Pepe Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. Point guard.
Point guard.
Played at St. John's.
How about this? Carlos Delfino was their eighth guy.
Really?
Yeah. And there's a bunch of other guys that didn't get a chance to play in the NBA. But those are your... I'm looking at Walter Herman. I think he had a cup with with the Wizards.
Yeah, Walter Herman played a little bit. Yeah.
He made... Yeah, so
there's... Rockets may have even looked at him.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Walter Herman.
Yeah. They've looked at him. I don't know if they had him or not. But, yeah, that team was loaded.
That team was... I remember watching. I was like, there's no... Because this was Ginobili's... He's coming off his rookie year in San Antonio.
Yeah.
And I remember watching. I was like, hold on. This guy just did this to the... I mean, this is dream team stuff, right? Because... It was still dream team-esque. Like, you go, this is our best team. And then, of course, they got embarrassed. One of the wildest things I've seen basketball-wise.
That's crazy. So you're going to get awesome. To it for us in the second hour. We're going to talk a little bit about the players that are still around sports that have played and participated in the 90s.
Drafted in the 90s. And then we got the sing-off.
Sing-off. Tom is already loaded up for the sing-off. So we need two more participants, two more contestants that want to sing for a chance to win two tickets to Journey and Def Leppard on Monday. The lines are open. We're going to do it at 2:15 before Sigmund Bloom at 2:30 when we talk fantasy football. So that is all a preview of what's ahead on hour number two of the Big Show. Don't go anywhere. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.